My style is impetuous, my defense is impregnable, and I'm just ferocious. I want your heart, I want to eat his children.
I'm real champion.
Greetings, Fight fans, to this, your first edition of In the Squared Circle with Felipe León. This is episode number one. This will be your 30-minute or less boxing show where we'll give you news, fight results, and upcoming fights in a quick and succinct fashion. With me, Felipe León, you might ask yourself, who is Felipe León? Well, I'm a 10-year-plus veteran of FightNews.com. I'm also co-editor of the Spanish language BoxeoTijuana.com and co-host of Boxeo Tijuana TV. If you speak Spanish, check us out on YouTube every Tuesday night, 8 p.m. Pacific. We have a live show with my partner, Renzo Novara, where we go in depth over all the boxing news in Mexico and the United States and throughout the world. That's on BoxeoTijuana.com/TV. But here in the Square Circle on the Leave It in the Ring Network, we'll be giving you news in a very succinct and quick fashion. Not much back and forth since it's just me. So let's get into it real quick. This is what we call the news section. We call it Jabs and Hooks. First off, according to Mark Taffet of HBO Pay-Per-View, the Canelo and Cotto fight last November 21st sold 900,000 pay-per-view buys with a $58 million gross. Mark Taffet, who is also leaving HBO along with Ken Hirschman, as it was announced earlier this month, this is pretty much his last hurrah. It seems to be a success, but there is some news. There are some reports from the deep recesses of the internet that says that that number is actually not accurate, that it's closer to 650,000. Obviously, Mark Taffet, HBO, Golden Boy, and the rest of the lot want to make Canelo Alvarez a star. They want to make sure that he's a success within pay-per-view so that way he can take over those coveted pay-per-view dates of May and September now with Floyd Mayweather Jr. as of now, obviously, out of the picture, and no other Mexican star out there that could take over those dates. They're expecting Canelo to do it, and with this number, they're trying to tell us that he is a big name and he's a big seller. I mean, the guy is a seller. I mean, he sold out those two stadiums in Texas, even though at discounted rates. But he did sell him out. The guy can sell. The guy is, you know, he brings out the fans. But, you know, whether HBO needs to tell us the truth or not, I mean, that's up to them.
You don't ever give me a face.
Who are we as boxing fans to even care how many pay-per-view buys? I mean, if you bought it or didn't, you bought it or you didn't buy it. And it is what it is. I mean, we don't get anything out of it. We don't get a discount. We don't get any money back if they end up selling over a certain number. But, you know, us boxing fans, we love to know every little detail of the business, and this is a part of the business. Do we like to be lied to? Not necessarily, but what does it matter? I mean, if he sold 900,000, if he sold 200,000, it doesn't matter. If you bought it, you bought it. If you didn't, you didn't. And that's the end of the game right there. An announcement from Mexico City from none other than Juan Manuel Marquez said that he is planning to come back on May 5th. He hasn't been in the ring since May of 2014 when he defeated Mike Alvarado at the LA Forum in Los Angeles. And now he's saying that he wants to come back May 5th, quite possibly in Mexico City, his hometown, as a farewell fight. No other details. He didn't give any other details regarding that. He didn't mention if he wanted to come back against who, if it was going to be a Sanford show. Obviously, it has to be a Sanford show. That's his promoter in Mexico. They didn't say if Top Rank was going to be involved, which platform it was going to be on, if it was going to be on HBO or any other TV channel. Obviously, in Mexico, it would be on Canal Azteca, which is the channel in Mexico that broadcasts the Sanford fights. But, I mean, I would imagine that Juan Manuel Marquez, as being his last fight and being a businessman, he would like a pretty good payday. I don't know if he'll be able to receive it or achieve it in Mexico City if HBO or any other major network is involved. Obviously, Showtime is not in play right now. So we would have to see, obviously, if HBO to be interested It would have to be against a good opponent, Brandon Rios, perhaps. Obviously, he has called out Kell Brook. I doubt Kell Brook would ever step foot in Mexico, let alone Mexico City. So we would have to see. We'll see what the plans are. We'll see who it is. If it's against just, you know, a no-name like Marco Antonio Barrera did in his last fight, you know, HBO is not going to be interested. He's not going to make a big payday. I heard that it might be free in the main square called El Zócalo in Mexico City. So obviously there's not going to be a gate sponsorship, yes, but is it going to be $1 million in sponsorship? I seriously doubt it. So we'll see what happens. You know, we'll see if his plans stay the same. We'll see if he still wants to make his comeback in Mexico City. It sounds nice. It sounds romantic. But, you know, at the end of the day, this guy hasn't trained. Well, he says he's been training here and there, soft training with Nacho Bedingstein. But if he's really going to train hard for a fight, we would expect, he would expect, and we would expect for him to expect a pretty good payday. Who knows if he could get it in Mexico City with not a major U.S. network involved.
I wish I was 50 years younger and I'd kick your ass.
During an open workout in Russia this past week, Floyd Mayweather Jr. wore a shirt with the number 48. When asked about it, he said that it was to honor his 48th win, which was against none other than Manny Pacquiao. He mentioned that that fight was the most important one of his career. He also stated that many believed that he wouldn't be able to win that fight, that that, you know, it took 5 years in the making and that he wasn't going to win that fight, and he ended up winning it. So for him, in his mind, that is the most important win of his career. Well, my question is, I don't know if you guys have had the chance to see the picture of him training in Russia with that shirt on, is that the inside of the number 48 has the Mexican flag on there. So that is kind of strange, being that, you know, it's there to signify the win against Manny Pacquiao. Last time I checked, Manny Pacquiao wasn't Mexican. Last time I checked, Floyd Mayweather Jr. wasn't Mexican either. So it's kind of weird that this shirt that was made by the Money Team, his clothing line, and to signify his win against Manny Pacquiao, a Filipino, has the Mexican flag on there. I don't know if that's for him to try to sell it more, being that the Mexican-American and the Mexican public is pretty large in boxing and they're pretty much willing to buy anything that has to do with the boxer, and maybe that's his way of trying to sell it to them. But, you know, I find it kind of strange that it had the Mexican flag inside the numbers, which had nothing to do why the reason of the 48 numbered shirt. Late last week, Mauricio Sulaiman, president of the WBC, announced a call between himself, Golden Boy Promotions, and K2 Promotions, which handle the career of none other than Gennady Golovkin. Obviously, if you follow boxing and you're listening to the show, you probably follow boxing pretty intensely. You know that Mauricio Sulaiman of the WBC announced before the fight between Canelo and Miguel Cotto that the winner had to face Gennady Golovkin next. Well, Golden Boy and K2, according to Sulaiman, have been in talks about that possible fight even before the Canelo and Cotto fight, which I find a little bit strange. I mean, did they know already that Canelo was going to win? You know, or was K2 also in talks with K2, thinking if Miguel Cotto was going to win? But that in this conference call that Sulaiman and the teams of Canelo and G and Triple G are having or had last weekend, that Mauricio Sulaiman was only there as a witness. He's not a policeman, and he said he was only witnessing and making sure that the talks were moving forward. And according to him, they are, that they are on track, and that some details should be announced soon.
You're serious? You're serious?
I mean, that's a great fight. Everybody wants to see that fight. Is it going to happen next for Canelo and Triple G? Like Mauricio Sulaiman announced it had to happen? I doubt it. I mean, why would you throw Canelo Alvarez, guy that just won the title, even at 155 pounds, the middleweight title, why would you throw him against Triple G right now? I mean, you need to help him, you know, build a little bit more. He's pretty big. He's pretty popular. But if you build it a little bit more, or like Bob Arum likes to say, marinate the fight, you know, it's going to sell a lot more pay-per-views. It's going to sell a lot more pay-per-views. You may be able to break the 1.5 million, quite possibly put them on the same card together, although I think that would be very expensive. And logistically, tough to do. I mean, does Gennady Golovkin want to play second fiddle to El Canelo Alvarez? You know, let's say Canelo Alvarez, his next fight, let's pretend and let's say that his next fight's on May May 5th or right around there in the weekend, the Cinco de Mayo weekend, you know, and to promote their upcoming fight, which would happen, you know, let's say at the end of the year of 2016 or early 2017, you put Gennady Golovkin on the same card, which you could do because Golden Boy and K2 probably have a good relationship, or at least they're willing to work together. Does Gennady Golovkin go on as the semi-main event to Saul Canelo Alvarez? He might, you know. I mean, Gennady Golovkin, he sells a lot of tickets, and but he doesn't sell as many pay-per-views as Canelo. And but does he want to play second fiddle to El Canelo Alvarez? We know for a fact that Canelo Alvarez will not be in the semi-main event to Gennady Golovkin. He did it with Floyd Mayweather. It seems to me that when he would speak about that, he resented the fact that he was on the undercards of Floyd Mayweather Jr., playing second fiddle to Money Mayweather. I don't think that Gennady Golovkin would have that big of a problem. He doesn't seem too driven by ego. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. We'll see if that's something that's viable. Let's see what these talks produce, and let's see what is next. I doubt they're going to face each other next, but let's see how the WBC explains it to the boxing world of why they're not fighting each other next. You know, they did announce that whoever won between Canelo and Cotto had to fight Gennady Golovkin next, and obviously, or probably not, it's not going to happen. So what I'm interested in is how is the WBC, how is Mauricio Sulaiman going to get around that and explain of why it's not happening. I want to see that. And last but not least, you know, the boxing topic that everybody has been talking about possibly for the last week or 2 weeks, or a week, I think it has been a week, that has nothing to do with what's going on inside or outside the ring in actually the boxing world, but it's a movie. I went this last weekend. I didn't go Thanksgiving weekend. I went just this last Friday to see Creed. And you know what? I loved it. I think it's a great movie. If you haven't been to see it, don't walk, run to see it. It's a great story. They explain all the little loose ends. They explain a lot of things very well. I'm a big Rocky movie fan. I've tried to watch the whole series at least once a year. And I think it's in the top three. I think number one is the original Rocky. Number two is Rocky IV. And a close third is Creed. I loved it. I hope they make more of them. I think the cast was great. Felicia Rashad was great. I don't know the guy's name that plays Adonis Creed. I've seen him in other things before, but I thought he was great. A little stiff in his boxing. Obviously, there's little details there that other people have spoken about that is not very accurate. Andre Ward's in it. Gabriel Rosado's in it. Tony Bellew's in it. A couple other guys are in it. And I think, I don't know if how big of you guys are fans of Sylvester Stallone, but Sylvester, I don't know, I hate to break it to you, but Sylvester Stallone is not that great of an actor. Probably his best acting turn has been in the movie. It's about 20 years old. It's called Copland, which is a pretty good movie. And I think, in my opinion, that was his best acting ever in Copland. But in Creed, he does very, very well. I mean, there was one scene where he really delivers and he really sells it. So kudos to Sylvester Stallone. And I hope the sequel Creed 2 comes soon. And now, fight fans, let's go to our section we call TKOs and Split Decisions, where I give you the results of this last weekend. Starting off with Saturday night from the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, the Battle of Brooklyn was a quick one since WBA middleweight champion Daniel Jacobs stopped Peter Quillin in one round. It was very surprising. I mean, you know, the fight was a 50-50 fight. I kind of thought that Peter Quillin's power was going to get there a little quicker on Daniel Jacobs, but Daniel Jacobs scored a perfectly placed right hand that hurt Peter Quillin. Peter Quillin took a couple of stumbles back, and Daniel Jacobs jumped all over him. Quillin's mistake was not to hold. He admitted it after the fight that he made a mistake, and he did not hold, and he actually tried to fight back. Jacobs kept landing punches. He landed another big right hand. It looked like Quillin was going to stumble and go down. The referee jumped in the middle. Quillin actually did not go down when the referee turned around and saw that he was still on his feet, but pretty much out. I mean, you can see it in his face that he was pretty hurt. He decided to stop the fight. It was about a minute and a half into the first round. And with that, Daniel Jacobs defended his title, I believe, for the third time and proved that he is a player in the middleweight division. sadly, you know, all the other guys in the middleweight division that matter, well, not so much that matter. I mean, there's Golovkin, there's Canelo, who, you know, are far, far and away from a fight with Daniel Jacobs. But one fight that can be made and would be a pretty good scrap would be Daniel Jacobs and Andy Lee. But first, Andy Lee needs to get past his countryman, Billy Joe Saunders, later on this month. I think it's December 12th. I'm not exactly 100% sure, but I know it's in December. So he has to get past that fight, and then we'll probably be able to see, hopefully, Danny Jacobs against Andy Lee, and then from then on, we'll see. I mean, Gennady Golovkin has stated time and time again that he wants to hold all the titles at the middleweight division. So before he fights Canelo Alvarez, can we see him with the winner of Danny Jacobs against Andy Lee? We could possibly, and that might be an incentive if Golovkin ends up winning that title, whichever titles the winner of Danny Jacobs and Andy Lee hold, that would possibly be an incentive for Canelo to even get in the ring even quicker with Gennady Golovkin, because it would be his only obstacle in obviously writing his name in the record books. I mean, right now he's the second Mexican to ever hold a middleweight title behind Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., but if he were to unify the titles with a win over Gennady Golovkin, I don't know, man. You could say move over Julio Cesar Chavez Sr., because here comes Canelo Alvarez as quite possibly the biggest Mexican fighter that ever lived. You're I'm not serious? Saying that. I don't want you guys to jump all over me and say that I said Canelo. But if that guy would unify the middleweight titles by beating Gennady Golovkin, I mean, I could already see his statue being built right now in Mexico City. In over 13,000 in Fresno were there to see Jose Ramirez get up from the canvas in the second round to beat Johnny Garcia for the vacant WBC Continental Americas super lightweight title. That fight was held in Fresno and it was broadcast live on Unimas, presented by Top Rank. Scores were 79-73 twice and 77-74 for Jose Ramirez, who is proving to be a huge ticket seller in his hometown of Fresno. Ramirez goes and stays undefeated with 16-0 with 12 knockouts, while Garcia drops to 19-4 with 11 knockouts. In an upset from Florida, Tijuana's Rafael Big Bang Rivera defeated via split decision former champion Wilfredo Papito Vasquez Jr. Scores were 98-91 for Vasquez, 96-93, and 95-94 for Rivera. Rivera was down in the second round in an exchange. Papito Vasquez, who looked hurt, scored a left hook that dropped Rivera, the first knockdown of Rivera's career. But Rivera ended up staying undefeated with a record of 21 wins, 0 losses, 2 draws, 14 knockouts, while Vasquez drops to 24-6. 1 draw, 19 knockouts. As I mentioned in the beginning of the show, I'm the international editor for FightNews.com, but my territory is here in Tijuana, Baja California, as well as San Diego. I've seen this Rivera kid fight numerous times. I didn't think he had this fight in him. I've seen him fight a lot of 4-rounders, a lot of 6-rounders. He was being built very, very slowly, but in the last 6 or 7 months, he actually crossed over to the United States and started fighting in the United States, and obviously the opponents were a little bit tougher, and he kept winning. When this fight was announced, I said, hey, well, this is a really good test for him, and he ended up pulling it off. It was a very close fight, very controversial. Papito Vasquez Jr. left the ring in disgust when the decision was announced. They had to catch up with him in the dressing room. He really didn't want to talk to HBO Latino, who broadcast this fight, presented by Rock Nation and Miguel Cotto Promotions. And, you know, he finally said it. He said, hey, you know what? He believes there was something controversial. He mentioned in the post-fight interview that he believes there was some shadiness going on there. I don't know why there would be. I mean, he was the house fighter. Miguel Cotto was in the house. I don't know why Miguel Cotto would want him to lose if that's his fighter, but hey, who knows? I don't know how they get along. But he mentioned that, and he said that he's going to come back. He's going to go back in the gym, and he's not going to let people see him down, so he's going to be back. So we'll see. And this Rivera kid, you know, looking really good, and let's see what's next for him. Hopefully they give him a real good fight next, because he deserves it. He pulled it off. You know, it could have gone either way. A lot of people saw Vasquez Jr. winning. I had it close. I didn't really score the fight, so I can't tell you who really won, but it could have gone either way. And from Tecate, Mexico, This fight was only broadcast in Mexico, but former champion Moises Fuentes, junior flyweight, took a split decision over another former champion. These guys were champions at strawweight. Now they're at junior flyweight. The other guy was Francisco Chivas Rodriguez. Chivas Rodriguez is best remembered for one of the fights of the year of 2014 when he went all out with Japanese Katsunari Takayama. This fight, Fuentes won by split decision. He goes to 23-2-1. 23 wins, 2 losses, 1 draw, 12 knockouts. Rodriguez drops to 17-4, 1 draw, 11 knockouts. Scores were 116-112 twice for Fuentes, 116-112 for Rodriguez. Fuentes was the stronger of the two, scored the bigger punches. Rodriguez was a little bit busier, but wasn't scoring with big power, so the judges gave it to the guy that was scoring the bigger punches. Both of them lost to Donnie Nietes, who for many is the king at 108 at 108 pounds. Now, fight fans, we go to the last section of our show, which is upcoming fights.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Veremos quién es el más macho.
Hopefully, Michael Buffer and Lupe Contreras don't sue me for that. Tuesday, December 8th, guess who's back? Chad Dawson. Chad Dawson will be back versus Chuya El Amin from Trenton, New Jersey, the Sun National Bank Center. It will be the PBC on Fox Sports 1. And then we jump to Friday, December 11th, where Nonito Donaire will face Cesar Juarez for the WBO International 122-pound title. That would be a 12-rounder. Also on that card, the new hope of Puerto Rico, Felix Verdejo, will be facing a Brazilian, Jose Nilson dos Santos, for 10 rounds at lightweight. That fight card is presented by Top Rank, and it will be on True TV. Same night, Friday, but this one will be the PBC on Showtime. Regis Progreis will be facing Abel Ramos in a 10-rounder at super lightweight. On Saturday, December 12th, from England, in London, in the O2 Arena, and promoted, actually broadcast only on Sky. A lot of fighters on there. Kevin Mitchell versus Ismael Barroso for the interim WBA lightweight title for a 12-rounder. Anthony Joshua, the guy that everybody wants to see face Tyson Fury next, goes against Dillian White for the WBC International Heavyweight title in a 12-rounder. So that, I mean, it doesn't make you the mandatory at the WBC, but it puts you at least in the top 15, I would guess, if you win the WBC international title. And it's also for like some European title or something like that. So Anthony Joshua, maybe we'll see him against Deontay Wilder before we see him against Tyson Fury. We also have the guy from Creed, Tony Bellew, versus Matheus Mastrnak for the EBU cruiserweight title for in a 12-rounder. And Gianluca Branco versus Pauly Malignaggi for the EBU welter title in a 12-rounder. Pauly Malignaggi says it's a dream come true for him to fight for that title, being that he is half Italian, or I think he's full Italian, but he's born in the United States. He speaks Italian. The guy loves it out there, so he's fighting in England for the EBU welterweight title. And that, again, will be only broadcast on Sky. Obviously, you could catch it other forms if you're so inclined to catch those fights from England. Huge card at the O2 Arena. Same night, Saturday, December 12th, Jose Benavides will face Sidney Siqueira in a welterweight match in a 10-rounder. Oscar Valdez goes against Ernie Sanchez at featherweight for 10 rounds, and this fight is promoted by Top Rank from the Tucson Convention Center, and it will be broadcast on Unimas. Saturday, December 12th, same night, Pedro Campa will face Aaron Herrera, two Mexicans at the superweight division. Super welterweight division in a 10-rounder, and Sullivan Barrera, the Cuban, versus Caro Murat in a light heavyweight IBF eliminator in a 12-rounder. That's from the Civic Auditorium in Glendale, California, and that will be on HBO Latino. And last but not least, the PBC on NBC will see the guy from, he's from Texas, Corpus Christi, I believe, Omar El Panterita Figueroa, facing Antonio Tony DeMarco at super lightweight, 12-rounder special attraction. Obviously, Antonio DeMarco had announced after his last fight, which he lost to Rancis Barthelemy, that he would retire. He resigned it on that decision, and now he's back, and he's facing Omar Figueroa. I would guess that if he loses this fight, he's done. But we'll see what happens. Also on that card, Dominic Brazil versus Charles Martin. Two undefeated heavyweights in a 10-rounder. This fight reminds me of when long, long time ago, Chris Arreola faced another guy from Los Angeles. Both were undefeated and both moved on their careers, with Chris Arreola beating Damian Bolo Willis. That was a fight kind of like the same as this Dominic Brazil. Two undefeated fighters against Charles Martin, you know, at the same level, at the same place in their careers. The winner goes on and moves on to bigger and bigger things. The other guy, well, we'll see what happens. You know, nobody actually remembers what happened to Bolo Willis. Just recently, he tried to make a comeback. We haven't heard from him since, quite frankly. Also on that card is Taro Gaucha versus Said El Harak at super welterweight with 10 rounds. And also in other cards, who knows if they're going to be broadcast, probably on NBC Sports Network. Hugo Centeno Jr., the return of Victor Ortiz. And I think this guy is either Omar Figueroa's brother or cousin, Brandon Figueroa. And that, my friends, is the fight, the upcoming fights. And that brings us to the end, like I promised, 30 minutes or less of this, the first episode of In the Squared Circle. I'd like to thank all you guys for tuning in to the show on the David Duenas Dividend the Ring Network. And until next time, next Sunday, we'll be here giving you all the news and all the fight results. Will you walk the line like it's there to choose? Just forget the wins, it's the best to use.
It's that time of year again, when everything seems a little bit tighter. Shirts tighter across the tummy, top button issues with your favourite jeans, and money too. The Tesco Mobile sale can help with that at least, by giving you £24 off the Motorola Moto G 3rd Gen at just £13.50 a month. The belly stuff, you're on your own. Tesco Mobile, every little helps.
£24 is the device cost saving over 24 months. Sale ends 31st of January. 24-month credit agreement at 0% APR representative with Tesco Mobile required. Subject to availability and status, terms and charges at tescomobile.com.